Yesterday, after a short discussion, we were just mentioning about ignorance, because I think it had come up in an earlier discussion. And I know that people have said this before about how we don't talk about ignorance, certainly we talk about lopa and dosa, but overlook ignorance. So I was wondering if you might say something about the difference between ignorance and wrong view and wrong understanding, please.
We have heard the word ignorance almost all the time, but in order to know what reality is now, we don't have to wait at all. For example, at moment of seeing right now, is there any awareness and understanding of it, that which it now sees, and the visible object which is now appearing? So one knows how much ignorance is there from moment to moment. And it's not just the ignorance itself, because there is also attachment to whatever is experienced, even in a flash, is there already, because realities arise and fall away so fast, beyond expectation. No one can imagine how fast it is, otherwise there is no idea about people and things around here and here too, everywhere. So by understanding this, one sees that there is only one way to have less ignorance and attachment, is by understanding with awareness of a characteristic of a reality at a time. Otherwise, they all come together as something permanent, stay for long, like people now. But actually, one begins to understand the virtues of Buddha, especially the wisdom or understanding that through his life accumulated panya and all parami in order just to experience the true nature of reality right now as it is. So there must be the way to understand reality, even if it's not easy at all, because one has accumulated lots of ignorance and misunderstanding, wrong view, taking reality for something there, no matter here or there or here, everything so permanent. That's why in order to really become having detachment from clinging and ignorance, it's only by understanding. But understanding cannot come just out of the blue. There must be the accumulation of understanding, like the accumulation of ignorance. Ignorance is accumulated now from moment to moment. So right understanding has to be like that, very, very natural. If there is any idea of doing something, so it's wrong. That is the way that it has to be, right understanding, which keeps one away from wrong understanding and wrong practice, and to know realities as they are, as so many things that are unknown as they are, like seeing is not self, it's just a moment of a conditioned reality. So now, how many moments of ignorance and attachment when there is no understanding? And this is only intellectual understanding. Only this cannot eradicate the idea of self at all. Not enough. Because it's long, long accumulation. We cannot count either how long it is accumulated. But by hearing, there can be moment of right consideration, whether what is heard is right or wrong. Can it be proven right now? See? But with attachment and wrong view, one takes the other way, trying so hard to have it, and it never be like that at all. Impossible. Because there is no understanding at all. So instead of trying so hard, why not this moment of understanding whatever appears? But it's not arise by being told to be aware right now. Impossible. Just to understand the anatta-ness firmly and firmly in one's life, from this life to another life. So whenever there is the hearing about realities as anatta, then since one has accumulated for a long time, he can understand what is meant by no self and no expectation for any awareness or any level of understanding, because it's not I who can do anything, but they are all Sankhara Khanda, the 50 Chetasikas, which is now performing their function all the time. No one at all. But one learns to understand reality just one characteristic at a time, only.
Ajahn, I'd like to ask a question. I did up these books with the idea that it would be nice to give out to everyone. And because when I had read it, at least I'd read part of it, I thought it was well done. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice explanation of Dhamma. It does not go against Dhamma at all. It's mm-hmm. The man has very excellent understanding.
Who's the writer?
John Paiuto.
Oh, I see.
Yes. And so I decided to give it out, and I gave it out, and it was a nice reaction from a number of people. However, there was several people said to me, one person said, this was third or fourth hand, although one person said, this man he's not even in the top 10 scholars of Thailand or whatever. And another person asked me whether I had checked with you first before giving mm-hmm. this out.
Yeah.
And others don't feel that they don't, that they didn't want it, so they don't look at it. If you find that as you read it, there are contradictions and it is wrong Dhamma, then throw it away, give it away, whatever.
So what's the question?
So I just wanted to make that comment. A question in the sense that is it real? Is it necessary for us, for instance, if I wish to read a book by other authors, say a John Bhikkhu Bodhi or whoever, mm-hmm. Is it necessary for us to have you vet it? Or rather, I would think to listen to what the Buddha said, and that is, see for ourselves, and if we find that it does not agree with the Dhamma, okay, let it, put it aside, give it away. But if it does agree with the Dhamma, then continue to read it. Could you make a comment about that?
I think that words from the teachings, no matter who wrote it after his passing away, anyone who come across it should think over it, not just believe like Kun Betty just said. But when it talks about the three signs of what? Mm. See, it's not just three signs, but we have to consider and contemplate on realities, because Buddha has enlightened the true nature of all realities. So he could tell that the three signs of what? There must be that which has three signs. So if we know that now, can we have the understanding of the three signs, like the book here, then it's all right. For example, it's not just the three signs, but the three signs of what? Usually anyone who reads the Tipitaka just read with one's own understanding, taking the words as much as they think that it's there. But actually, I think that it's so very subtle and much more deeper than anyone just can read and think that one can understand, even the three signs. Because now, whatever conditioned realities arose, there must be the three signs. The three signs of any conditioned realities. But when one read about the citta and cetasika and rupa, like in many schools, they think in terms of words and number. How many cittas are there? Not seeing now is a kind of citta. So in the Buddha's time, no book at all. But he pointed out the reality right now to be known, to be directly experienced. For example, no matter in Buddha's time or today or in the future, seeing is seeing. When there are conditions for seeing to arise, it has to. No one can have it at will. No one can make it arise. And seeing is no one at all. It's just that reality which arises by conditions. As soon as it has arisen, performs its function, it passes away instantly, so fast. And this is the meaning of the three signs, the arising and falling away of conditioned realities. If no reality arising at all, where are the three signs? So in order to understand reality, it needs the very firm foundation of understanding about realities as not self, as tattu or elements, or realities only, no matter when. All realities yesterday was gone, completely, never come back, like this moment, exactly the same. But there is no precise understanding of anyone. We just say, all are dhammas. But what kind of dhamma is it, one at a time? Not precise, not exact. So it cannot say that one has the full understanding of reality. One just read, one just think. But there must be the understanding of no self. So what's going on right now? Citta, cetasikas, and rupa, they all have the three signs. Whatever arises has to fall away, and that's the meaning of the three signs. So you can read anything, but one has to know whether one really understands that. For example, if one comes across the three signs, it does not follow, but what are the three signs of reality or of what?
When you say the conditions there for seeing are there, it must arise.
Mm-hmm.
One must it because it is.
Can you stop seeing right now?
Not if there are conditions.
Yeah.
Not if there are conditions.
It's conditioned already, so it arises.
Because it is a paramita dhamma.
Dhamma. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Each kind of any moment is one paramita. Citta or cetasika or rupa, depending on awareness. If awareness does not arise, it's impossible just to directly understand the characteristic of a reality right then, because it arises and passes away so fast, very, very fast. So, what do you think?
I couldn't hear all of it again.
Not just follow the term without study carefully. What are the three signs? The three signs of what?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's the only way you can develop the understanding of no self, is to see things as being components or as being elements that rise and fall away. There's no other way that one can learn it and understand it.
So no matter you read or do not read this book, if you understand the three signs now, okay, it's all right.
That's too fast.
But it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever is true can be directly experienced.
Later on.
When panya develops.
Yeah.
Because it's not anyone who can have such understanding by oneself.
Can it be helpful on a conventional level before that development is strong enough to think about those three signs, like at a conventional level? For example, yesterday the plans change, and this is always our experience of life is that we think what something will happen, it happens differently. So is it helpful also just to think about that, to notice that at an intellectual level, things go differently to what one might expect?
I think that the understanding of Dharma itself will know whether it's helpful or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, everyone think of the self, try to find the best way, the best plan for oneself. Forgetting about anatta again at moment of trying for oneself, see? So just listen, and at moment of understanding, it's still no one at all. And it develops by conditions. So there can be anything at any time happen by conditions. And it can condition thinking too. It does mean that one should stop thinking. No, not at all. Whatever arises is already conditioned. Right now, we don't have to look for seeing. It's here. For hearing, it's conditioned already. It's gone already. Every moment can be the development of understanding the anatta-ness, not just a certain incident or happenings, even right now.
To survive in the normal daily life without a notion of self, without having some idea that you don't step in front of a basa.
Excuse me? Like an arahata?
No, like an...
positioner.
An ordinary person, an unenlightened person. I mean, we're in our thinking all day. We get up in the morning and we're thinking about what we'll do, and we don't step out the window, we step out the door. In other words, in conventional daily life, there's obviously some conventional value in having a notion of I mustn't jump out the window from the sixth floor. Seems, at least to me, a direct contradiction to
what I said.
Yes, I mean, so that you're obviously talking at a deeper level. So how does one really drop this? You can't drop it. It goes on.
Yeah. Okay. With more understanding, little by little. Accumulated from moment to moment.
I won't walk out the window.
No.
So he still has some conventional.
Sure. Yeah, there must be. Even at this moment, it doesn't mean that there is no understanding of who's who and what's what,
right.
Even Buddha himself. Because after seeing, there must be the process of thinking as usual. But with or without understanding.
So the understanding can arise
when there is the fundamental understanding or conventional
Could we say that the basic thinking patterns remain? The conceptualizing about what is safe to do in the instance of walking out the window, what is going to lead to harm to one's body or something. But there's no attachment and there's no ignorance.
Who will do that? Ordinary people?
The arahat.
Oh no, the arahat never jump or walk. Step out of the window.
The enlightenment doesn't affect the way the world is conceived at a conventional level, but it does affect the understanding of what are realities and what are concepts.
When there is no ignorance, no kilesa at all, there are conditions for a better life with right understanding.
Better in what sense?
Better kusala.
Better, more kusala.
And for an arahata, even kusala is not kusala because it has to become kiriyajita, that which cannot produce any result at all.
Or sopana.
Sopana. Kiriya, but not kusala. No akusala, no kusala.
But to know we don't walk out the window is cause and effect.
Of what?
Of knowing that it...
Window?
Window or... we still have to deal with conventional... With
it's conventional cause and effect, though, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
It's not cause and effect in terms of karma dipak or
right.
That sort of thing, yeah. But it's conventional.
Three levels of understanding, the Pariyatti, the Patipatti, and the Pativeda. Pariyatti is the intellectual understanding. Like now, when we talk about seeing, when we talk about citta, cetasika, and rupa, that's the intellectual understanding, which will lead to the development of sati. Because at moment of listening, citta is wholesome, kusala, but not at that level which arises and is aware of a characteristic of a reality which we are talking about now, but it will condition that moment by being sankhara, no self, no one at all. We don't have to expect for any moment of awareness. Otherwise, it delays, it hinders the progress of understanding because that's still the idea of self. So, just understand, and even the understanding is not self, it's not me, no one there. In terms of elements, everything is different element by itself.
But I think the point of Peter's question is that for us a lot of the thinking is conditioned by attachment and ignorance, of course. So as understanding is developed and attachment and ignorance are presumably reduced and eventually at the stages of enlightenment even eradicated, what effect does that have on the thinking that
like
goes
now,
on all the time?
Like now,
like
we
now.
Think differently by conditions.
Yeah. You mean each of us thinks differently? But
and each moment, it will condition different thinking again and again. When you learn language, you know that it conditions another kind of thinking too in that language. So each moment is accumulated and it will condition the next different ones all the time.
So, John, when, again, we were discussing that... last session when Sukhin asked about if you heard the Dharma being taught by the Buddha, you just heard the rupa, the sound of the Buddha's voice, that what effect that had on the listener. And I think the answer that came was that if it's just the rupa of the sound of the Buddha's voice, that's not a sufficient condition for understanding to arise in the listener. The listener has to be listening, has to be paying attention to what is said. Just hearing the sound is not a sufficient condition to result in understanding arising in the citta of the... Is that...
There must be wholesome cetasikas accumulated, right attention, right considering.
Right.
So there can be the moment of understanding what is said, what is heard.
But what you're saying, Ajahn, is that it's not, for example, as I listen to you now, it's not helpful for me to say I've got to listen carefully to what Ajahn is saying. I must really apply myself to what... No, I mean, you know what I'm... As opposed to listening without attachment to trying to listen...
I think that this is a point where many people misunderstand. For example, according to the sutta, it said like doing, trying many often. But actually when it's understanding, it means that even right now, it depends on whether there is understanding or not. If there is no understanding at that moment, you think about the other thing instead of what is said. See? And no one can stop anyone's thinking or thought at all. It shows the nothingness. So even right now, right understanding can understand that as not self. But the person who doesn't have enough accumulation will take it just a very little, not like that who has accumulated lots of sati and awareness. That's why even in the Buddha's time, those listeners gain different understanding from what they heard.
So some could hear a tiny bit and take a lot, but others could listen to a lot and learn nothing.
Well, that was the example of the frog, wasn't it?
Yes.
The frog just heard one sign and then it died and was reborn.
Yeah. And that's why there are many, what you call it, meditation center. Because those people think that they have to try very hard to follow, because Buddha said, like having virya and so forth. But actually the understanding is there and the virya is there, and they all perform the function from moment to moment. So the understanding of the anatomy of realities is the most important thing. Otherwise the self is there again, attachment is there again, because they are the leaders all the time for other moment to follow easily.
Actually, we were discussing this a little bit last night, the idea of trying, and thinking about the time that the Buddha spent practicing austerities and like not eating and all the traditional things to try to reach enlightenment, but he rejected that. And that seemed to be like an example of how trying is not useful.
Because of his karma. Mm-hmm. So he got that vipaka. But he still have the understanding. But since he spent a lot of effort,
yes,
so he got such a moment of being starved and hungry and so forth, mm-hmm, by conditions. But there is also the idea of right understanding accumulated. Otherwise, he might not know that it's wrong, uh-huh, to do that. Uh-huh. Even right now, if there is the idea of I'll be aware, just a flash of it, wrong practice, wrong development. And Panya sees that. So, lopa cannot lead to other wrong practice or wrong development when panya is there.
But when you said in response to me that when the Buddha was an ascetic and hungry and living in the woods, and that was vipaka. What part of it was vipaka?
The akusala kamma in one of his life, uh-huh, he said something to the teaching of the Buddha about that, like it's useless to do like that or something like that, or the teaching is useless. I really don't remember the exact words, but what I got is just the result of vipaka.
So that's the pain and suffering in living as a life as an ascetic.
Yeah. It conditioned him to be like that, to.
So the wrong view of the austerities is not really
that
because
it's not
of
wrong
the, of
view
the
at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he did it because of the result of vipaka to have it that way.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So no wrong view involved, really?
No.
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 Wrong practice, perhaps.
He spent more effort,
yes,
by getting the result of his karma,
right,
to got that physical, what do you call it?
Discomfort. Hardship.
Discomfort.
Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that a little more, please?
When time comes for karma to produce result, we cannot predict in what manners. For him, it's the idea of getting less food, but too much.
But when we
refer to vipaka strictly with referring to moments of seeing, hearing, bodily experience. So what you're saying is the moments of bodily unpleasant feeling is the vipaka from previous karma. So you're referring specifically to these moments of
what condition?
Akusala vipaka.
The moment of the way he did.
He didn't have wrong view in his life?
I don't think so.
He followed austerities without having wrong view.
I think that, that in the commentary or the Tipitaka, okay, you can look it up.
Yeah, I heard about mm-hmm. it too. He was like a skeleton and
but he lots of practice
because I believed he thought he would reach enlightenment that way. Is that not wrong view?
One can have right view, but one tried too hard.
But then practicing those austerities was never going to lead to enlightenment.
Not like those who have such wrong view, like doing different, very...
extreme.
But usually we do say, when there's trying too hard, like trying to have awareness, that this is indicative of self-view.
That's why he used the term silapata brahmasa. Not just siddhi. Silapata brahmasa.
In this case, right view was developing, but still moments of siddha
because it's not completely eradicated.
So, in fact, I think before you've talked about the distinction and how there can be no more wrong view, but still there can be
because
moments
it's
of
not completely.
What is it? What is that?
Wrong practice.
Usually, it's translated as adherence to rites and rituals. So, following some practice, but different from wrong view.
Okay.
For example, wrong view at this moment that takes this for a television remote control that really thinks that that exists. That is wrong view at that moment. So there can be no more wrong view that there's anything other than visible object that's seen. But by accumulations or conditions, there can still be moments of silabhata paramasa right up until sotapanna, I think.
It can
be very, very subtle. Yeah. It can be very, very subtle, like even at this moment, just...
As if he hasn't become enlightened yet. But it's not done by wrong view or ritual thinking.
Even after the vipassana jnanas have been developed, there can still be silabhata paramasa.
And it's completely eradicated by sotapattimokkha, that very moment.
Can we say there is silabhata paramasa that is conditioned by wrong view and silabhata paramasa, the subtle
wrong
one?
Practice.
Wrong practice.
Even now, everyone has right understanding, but there can be silabhata paramasa. At moment trying or taking that reality for I.
But that's not wrong view. I thought it was included
wrong
in wrong view.
It depends on what degree you're talking about.
Yes.
Now, do you have right view or do you have wrong view at what time? Even there is right view, but there can be a moment of wrong practice. Silapata. Until one has become a sotapanna.
Not so, the middle way yet.
Okay. Yes, it is along the way.
Yeah.
But as the ditti does not, isn't completely eradicated.
Yeah.
Can we not say it is an aspect of ditti?
Yes, it has to be ditti jetasika. But what level, what degree?
Subtle aspect.
More subtle,
And when we talk about right view, samaditti. We know there are many different kinds of right view or samaditti. And when we specifically talk about the path factor of samaditti, does it have to be the understanding of nama and rupa as anatta, or can it also refer to the kind of intellectual understanding about kusala and akusala and their results, or just understanding kusala as akusala?
Are you talking about samadhi of the Eightfold Path or yes. samadhi?
Well,
any
we,
level.
If we talk about samadhi any level, then of course there can be samadhi which is not of the Eightfold Path, which is not the understanding of realities as anatta. There can be samadhi accompanying moments of samatha development, for example. But if we're referring to samadhi of the path as a path factor, I think it has to refer to the understanding of dharmas as dharmas.
What about the three rounds of the Noble Truth?
Yes.
Without Satchayana, they will never be the Kichayana.
Even for Satchayana, it has to be the right understanding relating to the Four Noble Truths, I think. So it has to be relating to the understanding of dharmas as dharmas. It can't be just referring to the intellectual understanding of karma and vipaka.
We can give dharma book on citta, cetasika and rupa to anyone. And when that person reads, that person thinks about the word citta, cetasika, and rupa, but not the reality of it. So it depends.
Yes. Yes. So then we can't even call it pariyati or satchanyana. Yes. So actually back to Betty's original question. Well, I think there were two points. One was when we give a gift and sometimes we have expectations and sometimes we're disappointed if it's not appreciated in the way we would like. But the other thing is one can give a gift such as a Dharma book and some people may benefit and others may not, depending on how one reads the words. And actually I was talking to Peter about how we all have different accumulations in our daily life. Some like watching TV, some like watching movies, some like reading the newspaper, some read a lot of Dharma books. But it always comes back to the present moment.
Maybe just go back to ignorance. And you said that if we think about seeing and we know how little understanding there is at this moment, then we have some measure of ignorance.
One realizes or one knows oneself.
What realizes?
How much ignorance we have.
Yeah, but what is it that realizes?
Panya. To know that.
So,
one, yeah, about realities that one has accumulated must be panya, which knows.
So there can be ignorance of visible object as a visible object.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that can be a moment of panya.
Yeah, that's why how panya will grow without knowing about seeing and the anatta-ness of seeing, how can panya grow? There must be the seed of panya,
so
the pariyati.
Is ignorance the object at that moment?
It depends on we just think about ignorance or the understanding of ignorance, that reality. So in the beginning, it's not enough understanding to know whether this is what. But just knowing that at that moment, arises or not. For example, talking about hardness, and there is hardness right now, does awareness arise? Is it aware of that which is hard? Or it never pay attention to the characteristic of an element which is hard at all?
So quick noticing, but as an element, no.
Yeah. This is the beginning. This is the development. It has to be as fast as that.
And it has to be slow. And I had such a good time with the reporter because he was so surprised that we said, oh, we are not discouraged about 40 years or 30 years of study, just a little, because we have accumulated so much ignorance. So he was so surprised that we didn't mind at all.
But to follow on May's question, there can be thinking about how little awareness there is of, say, visible object without there necessarily being any panya. It can just be a deduction that one draws from the fact, well, there's no awareness, therefore there's a lot of ignorance of visible object. So it would depend on conditions, whether it was panya or...
So how much do you have panya now from 10 minutes ago?
Good question.
See, it's not like that at all. Not just a thing about yourself, but at moment of understanding, it's understanding, that's all. And the next moment is not that. Not that, not that, that, not the preceding one at all. So this is the way to condition the attention with right understanding to a characteristic of a reality at a time by itself, not by me or by anyone. And this is the only way to become detached from clinging to wrong view and the idea of self.
Panya is real?
Is there panya?
So if there's no panya, is ignorance real?
Is there ignorance?
But I mean, to me, ignorance is no, is lack of panya.
They cannot arise together.
Right. But it's, it has the characteristic of...
Opposite.
Opposite?
Yeah.
Quite opposite. Okay. Even right now, those who have developed right understanding, when time comes and when conditions condition the moment of penetrating reality as it is, no one can stop. But for those who do not have such accumulation, ignorance is there all the time, not knowing, understanding that it arises and it sees that it is not self.
So it performs a function. Ignorance is actually performing the function of not knowing, isn't it? Of not knowing a reality.
It's a positive thing.
It's just doing its job.
Ignorance and moha. Is it different any from these two words?
Same.
Is it the same thing? Okay, thank you.
Many different kinds of right view, not always right view as a path factor of the Eightfold Path. We read in some texts that if it's not right path, it's wrong path. For example, even the development of samatha, even the attainment of jhanas, can be referred to as micca patipada, wrong path. Does this mean that we can say generally, whenever it is right view, which is not a path factor, that it is wrong path?
When we talk about the Miccha Patipatthā, the wrong path, and Sammā Patipatthā, the right path, we talk about the path which will lead to the end of samsara,
yes,
and the path which cannot lead to the end of samsara.
So this actually relates to what we were saying about how any kusala, if it's not the development of Satipatthana, is in this sense wrong path, because it doesn't lead to the end of...
Even jhana is in the sutta and commentary, not right path.
So right view can be wrong path if it's not right view of the Eightfold Path.
Of leading to the end or not leading to the end of samsara.
In other terms, it's right, but
it's right. But it's not the degree that it can.
So it's right view, but it's micca patipada, wrong path.
I think that there are different levels of panya, right? Is that correct? And what about those chan, when Buddha has been underwear to his enlightenment, he has been accept or achieve different chans from the lowest, like lowest chan up to the highest chan, which is a sappanyujan, right? Then is this the same as a different level of panya?
Samatha panya is not vipassana panya at all. Different ways.
So what is chan is not samatha, chan is samatha panya, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then vipassana chan.
Vipassana chan. Vipassana yana.
Okay.
The moment of the penetration, the nature of reality is at that very particular moment.
Because I get confusing a little bit, because so far what I have been reading in the past is about that Buddha has been practicing and achieved every jhana and so on
before his enlightenment.
Yeah, and this is a panya, right?
Yes.
This is a samatha, right?
Without panya, samatha cannot be developed.
And what about sapanjuyan? Is this the enlightenment?
After his enlightenment. To know
after
everything.
Enlightenment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does it achieve the highest panya?
Different way. He had both.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. That's why people always confuse with these two paths. And so far I've been describing that most of the people have to way of practicing, because there has been misunderstanding of these two knowledge. Mm-hmm.
They don't understand what panya vipassanayana is.
Hmm. Because they get mixed up with both. Mm-hmm.
They
and
just
so far
use the
reading,
term,
they don't understand
the word
more.
Okay. Without really study, it's impossible to understand what is what.
Okay, and then about this, so far, just a little while ago you said that whatever happened, it is vipaka of every karma. Is it correct?
No, because seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all these are vipaka. But thinking is not vipaka.
So what Peter has been asking a little while ago is said that whatever you have been doing as a normal life, whatever it has, what do you call about that word?
Conventional.
And that's what we have done is just like regular things and our habit, mm-hmm. in the world. So it is very hard to get very understanding. This is jitta and it is next to each other. And whatever we have done is whatever is
conventional,
it is vipaka.
No. Okay. Conventional is what? Yeah.
Not reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What we usually do, we usually talk about being here in this room and people and things and.
It's part of the idea of, we live in this conventional world and all the sensory input, as you want to call it, is coming in. And yet, and the mind has to make sense of it in some way, or make a pattern out of it or something. Is that part of the attachment to it?
Even before that? Yeah.
Do we live in a conventional world?
All the time.
Or is it a dream?
More.
Does it become ignorant? Is that cannot arise with the panya together?
No, not together.
Opposite.
Yeah.
So and
that's why there are kusala citta and akusala citta.
And as we know that in ordinary life we have ignorance 99%.
How many percent?
Most of our
usually
have 24 hours we have to ignore that.
When there is no right understanding, no kusala citta, it must be ignorance with akusala citta.
We can have kusala, but maybe without panya.
Not at the same time.
Yeah. So
there can be kusala with panya, the other time kusala without panya.
So how can we have the?
How again?
how can we,
do you want to have it?
Panya alive most of the time.
Yeah, you want that.
It'd be good, wouldn't it?
It's like impossible to have.
Without panya.
Panya.
Without panya, it's impossible.
Now we discussion
in order to understand that there is no self, they are all dhammas. No one, first to the end, from the very beginning to the end, no one, no self, in reality.
So when we listen from Achan that no self, So we understand already.
No, we to understand. We understand intellectually.
I think hearing it is just a beginning, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. considering it.
Mm-hmm. And hearing and reading is the only way that to create understanding.
Can you bring it up by yourself?
Cannot by ourselves, but the other way to help, to support.
Which way is the other way?
Meditation or something.
What is meditation with Arpanya?
No, I mean, if we study, we have a theory.
Okay, now we study and then what? Why do you have to go?
Because it's just still the idea of me having it and trying to get it. That's why one wants to follow a practice.
You wish to have good concentration?
To support, to have a more understanding when we listening.
Do you need concentration now?
Maybe sometimes we listen to a jam thing about story.
So you think meditating will help you
listen better?
Listen better.
Most of people think.
No, you, not the other people.
I have never tried.
You didn't try meditation. Oh, good.
No experience.
Don't put it on.
Do you think that you try even you don't know what meditation is?
Mm-hmm. Not for Puthuchon meditation. Because in the Buddha time we also have meditation, but maybe for Arya Bhukkhon.
I think that we have to understand any term like meditation, what it means. Otherwise, we take meditation to do something, without knowing what meditation is.
Then what is the meaning of the right meditation, please?
What is state up, not to have that type of meditation.
I think that now you are interested in meditation more than understanding reality right now. Right? Thinking about listening and then go to meditate somewhere.
Could you talk about right concentration in relation to meditation? Would that be
kusala? Concentration or akusala concentration depending on the citta and other jetasikas. When concentration arises with the unwholesome jetasikas, there must be akusala concentration. And when it arises with kusala, then it is also kusala concentration. But it depends on levels of concentration, because ekakata jetasika arises with each citta.
So for a young person, you have a right concentration.
Before that?
Before
that.
Okay.
Before vipassana, there must be the development of the middle path, right path.
This came up when Bev and I were talking about the 17 moments of, that there's 17 moments of rupa. When
the lifespan of arupa mm-hmm. is 17 moments of citta.
17 moments of
citta. Citta arises and falls away 7 times, so 1 rupa arises and passes away.
7 times?
17.
17.
Okay. So my question was, when the seeing arises and sees light or color of the object, that's one moment.
Of seeing.
Okay. So now we have 16 other rupa moments.
The rupa arrives at the time of atita pavanga, that which is contact with the eye base. one moment, mm-hmm. and Pawang Kajalana, second moment, mm-hmm. and Pawang Kupacheta, third moment, and Panchatuvara Vasana, fourth moment.
And what's the object? Always the light, the seeing? I mean, an example of...
It's just contact, or impinged on the eye base. Otherwise, there will never be seeing consciousness.
Because it, mm-hmm. So the 17 moments...
17? How many have passed? Atita Pawanka, Pawanka Jalana, Pawanka Pacheta, Panchatuvara Vasana.
When we talk about the
17 moments, we talk about the lifespan of one rupa, one group of rupa.
But his point is there are most of jitas in the series that have the visible object as object, but only at the moment of seeing consciousness does light appear. At the other moments in the idol process, it's dark, there's no light appearing. So your question is why?
Yes, what is the function of something? I don't know. I guess, you know, why? Much easier to ask.
When you heard a knock, do you know who's coming?
No.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. But you know. Someone knocks. So the other citta experience object like that. Mm-hmm. But the seeing performs the function of seeing alone.
Is there only one moment of seeing in the 17 moments?
And then the other moments?
Knows, experience, but not see.
But your question was that the rupa is only light at the moment it is seen.
Right.
And you ask, what about the other moments of that in that same process? Is that rupa suddenly dark?
But this is exactly the example of someone knocking on the door. So only at one moment of opening the door is the person there. The other moments, you know someone's there, but you don't know who it is. So in the same
rupa
sense...
Is light. Right.
That was his question.
Only at the moment of seeing is it actually seen, because it's only when it's seen that it's light. So does the light appear?
The rest also know light, but
sorry?
Not performing the function of seeing.
So it's knowing it, but not
like
experience.
The
mind know process after the chakku, the vara process. Mm. The mind also know the object exactly the same, but not performing the function of seeing.
So it's dark.
No, it's dark. It knows, but it does not exactly moment of really seeing. Because each citta has to perform its function. For example, the function of knowing, mm-hmm. hearing the knocking, the sound of the knock, mm-hmm. see, knowing such that, but it exactly the same rupa.
Rupa's,
well, going back to light, because I'm
talking about... Yeah, we were talking about light
and sound. It doesn't
matter, light or sound. It doesn't matter about light and sound. But we are talking about the function of each citta.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can one say that rupa doesn't appear exactly the same to the different cittas that experience it?
Like now, it's not just citta which experiences one object. Also, cetasikas experience... sharing the same object but different function.
I guess I'm hung up on the idea that the object is light.
Can I ask the question another
please.
Way? You said yesterday that jitta arises in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So
the jitta itself.
Yes. So
not the
visible
object.
As I understand it, it's the jittas in the sense door process. Of
no matter what process jitta itself,
darkness?
When it's experienced, it has to be dark. No light at all. It's not like when one closes one eyes mm-hmm. and there's no light, but one still know whenever seeing arises, it sees darkness. But when it's the mind of process, it's much more than that. Mm-hmm. Pure, no rupa at all appearing. No matter what we call it dark, it's not as dark like it's seen, can be seen. But that cannot be seen. The citta cannot be seen. But it can be directly experienced.
But what is dark? What is dark in the mind process?
Everything.
But the rupa is the object is light. But the object is light.
No, if it's not a visible object, then it's dark. I mean,
when one closes one's eyes, can there be seeing something which is dark, not light? Mm-hmm. But the mind of process much more than that.
Yes.
So one knows the difference between the sense door and the mind door when it appears.
You're talking generally about the mind door processes, but the very first mind door process after the eye door process, when visible object appears, we always say the visible object appears exactly the same as the visible object that appears in the eye door process. So if it is exactly the same, the characteristic, the colour, the light, the visible object should be experienced as exactly the same. So if it is experienced as light in the eye-door process, in that first mind-door process, should also be experienced as light, just exactly as it is.
Yeah. As light.
That's why nobody can differentiate or distinguish whether this moment is chakku dvara or mind or process.
Can we say it's light?
Like stick together.
Can we say it's light in the mind door?
Mind door can experience all objects, all kinds of objects. No matter it's light or sound or whatever, the mind door can experience that.
And the first mind door process.
That's why it's so rapidly.
In darkness, there's no light.
No, it's just the object, but it's...
But it's seen, whenever it's seen by chakku vijnana, the seeing consciousness, at that moment, it's not as light. So we call that dark, right?
It's becoming more difficult, Matt. More difficult for me. I don't understand, really.
You're distinguishing mind door from thinking. Right. That's the important point.
No, it's not from thinking, but mind door is mind door.
Mind door is mind door. Okay. It is not thinking.
It's not sense door.
Mind door.
Thinking things too through mind door.
Coming back to the jhavanas, the 17 moments when visible object, it arises as the object of mind door without thinking about objects. It's what we're trying to come back to is the first moment of visible object being the object of
the
mind door as opposed to
the whole process.
The whole process. Yeah. Yeah.
So the light and dark is still difficult for us, especially when it's the first mind door process after the sensor.
When you turn off the light, then you see darkness. Mm-hmm. But it's seen by whisper object. Without
seen
light.
By seeing.
Yeah, by seeing, yeah.
Yeah.
That is dark.
What is dark?
That is when it's seen by seeing. Turn off the lights.
Yeah.
That is seeing. You can tell the difference.
At the moment of seeing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that you still see something, so it's
right,
light.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing, but you're not seeing, you're seeing
something, then you call it darkness.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's the same.
So why not? So the darkness that you're talking about.
No,
in darkness, you know that you see darkness. Can you see dark?
If you open your eyes in the dark, you see dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that still light impinging?
We don't have to talk about light. We talk about that which is seen.
Okay.
Yeah, that which is seen is the object of seeing.
So you want to explain in the mind door?
No.
In the mind door process following.
Without the eyes, can the mind tell what is dark and what is not dark?
No.
Because mind door is nama. It's not going to have light. Because light is rupa. So it's not going to have light. If it's a mind door process that follows on the first mind door process, where the object is the same as in the sense door, but the following mind door processes will not have be no question of light or dark because it's only mental, it's only nama, it's not rupa. So that you talk about darkness in a mind door process doesn't have any
relevance
bearing because it's not light is a rupa. It's not a mental. It's not a nama.
We've tried to leave at 12.
Quarter past.
Can we try to leave at
12?
Maeve asked at the beginning about ignorance, moha, and ditti. And you said something about moha. Could you say something about ditti? Wrong view.
Can anyone experience the arising and falling away of a reality right now? And one takes it for permanent reality, that is wrong understanding, wrong view. Yeah. Is there anything or anyone in the visible object itself? When one thinks that there is someone in visible object, that is wrong view. It's not far away, wrong view. Anytime when there is ignorance and attachment, it can condition wrong view. But it doesn't mean that there must be wrong view every time of experiencing anything. It depends.
So lopa conditions wrong view.
Right.
And is it only lopa that conditions wrong view?
Avijja, ignorance.
Ignorance.
Yeah. It shows that wrong view cannot arise with artha-citta except lopa, mula-citta. There is attachment to object which will bring about other akusla, like taking it for permanent, or mine, or me.
And I think we must have all a lot of accumulated wrong view. We know it's not eradicated until the stage of sort of funnel. But in our daily life, it may not necessarily arise.
Mm-hmm.
So how would
not
it be?
Not all day wrong view.
Well, it could be days without any wrong view even.
It depends.
So how will wrong view be eradicated if it never actually appears and is known?
With right view only.
But only when it appears. If it doesn't appear, then it can't be known, so then it couldn't be eradicated. So it has to appear in order to be understood and thereby eradicated.
Awareness and right understanding.
Sorry, what has to appear? Wrong view?
Wrong view. If wrong view doesn't, if the characteristic of wrong view doesn't appear, then it can't be understood,
right.
So then it could never be eradicated. So, for example, a child playing merrily may not have any wrong view appearing, but there can never be the understanding developed which understands its characteristic.
And
if
the
it doesn't
characteristic
appear.
Is?
Which is just say taking something for permanent, taking this for actually being a glass of water in reality rather than different experiences through different doorways that is seen and heard at that moment.
Ditty. I would say ditty arises quite often.
Yes.
Well, it is.
Yeah. It wouldn't be wrong view when right view arises.
Only when it arises.
You said something yesterday about after a moment of awareness of seeing or color or sound or hearing, that is a condition for less arising of lopa. Because of understanding seeing or color or whatever as arising and falling away as
when panya grows.
When panya grows, yeah.
Like holding the knife handle.
Sorry, can you expand on holding the knife's handle?
Does it appear that it's worn away?
Does it appear?
That it has been worn away. worn out.
Oh.
It's by just holding it once or twice,
no.
Yeah, or hold it there,
yeah.
Or 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More years.
We have to have it so we can get rid of it.
No, in order to eradicate it. Like now we're talking about attachment and ignorance and other jetasikas like contact and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Does it appear? Even it arises and falls away with citta each moment. We can talk about all jetasikas. But who knows a characteristic of a jetasika when there is no awareness? So it's the level of intellectual understanding which will bring the moment of direct awareness of any reality right now. And understanding is the very important conditions for the arising of right awareness. But no expectation. When it's expectation, it's I again. More difficult to eradicate that. So, just understanding and understand, that's all.
I suspect there's a level of wrong view that underlies our thinking moments all the time, but it doesn't actually...
As anusaya.
Yeah, mm-hmm. As anusaya. Well, could it be also manifesting but in a very sort of weak manner so that it's not really apparent, there's no characteristic apparent?
When it does not arise, can you know that?
No,
when awareness is not aware, can you tell whether there is or there is no?
No, you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You're just asking about anusaya latent tendency, so while the wrong view and attachment hasn't been eradicated, still there is the tendency for it, even though it's not arising mm-hmm. until it's eradicated. That's
it's your undercurrent. That's what you're referring to as the undercurrent.
Mm-hmm.
Undercurrent.
No, I was referring to something else. And I didn't use the word undercurrent.
We just say the tendency is accumulated
yes.
in the citta from moment to moment
mm-hmm.
until it's eradicated.
Yes.
So even though there may not be wrong view at this moment, still there is the latent tendency with the citta mm-hmm. at this moment.
Who doesn't have latent tendencies?
Yeah. Oh, well,
the arahant has no...
The
sort of latent tendency. Yesterday, Kunsi Jin, when we were at Sankasiya, some friends mentioned that at lunchtime you told them a little bit about the story about the Buddha teaching the Abhidharma to his mother and Tusita, and appearing at Sankasiya where he taught Sariputta about the Abhidharma. And we read all this detail in the commentaries, and afterwards there was a little bit of general discussion, and some people made a comment that they had been a little surprised that you just accepted exactly what was said as being the truth in the text.
Who knows that? In order to be able to deny it, even we didn't experience at that time, we don't know at all what happened in the old days.
But I think they would say there's a difference between not knowing, not denying, and accepting and being certain that it's...
Do you think that anything can happen?
I think so.
By proper conditions?
Yes.
Yeah. Can it condition such events?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the more I read of the rest of the text or the commentaries, the more confidence I have that this is correct and this is true. But the point that was raised was actually something that people often say to us on
DSG, well, how can you accept it? So I was just interested to hear your comment.
Just what I said? Yeah. I couldn't say more.
Yeah.
Kunsuchin, that maybe I don't know whether it bears on this, but it almost seems to run counter to the Buddha encouraging us to see for ourselves.
Right.
It's like opposite to that.
And when you understand more and more, you can understand Buddha himself, his virtues, better and better.
So that it's not a contradiction.
Anything can happen by conditions. Okay. And the conditions for him, can it be for others?
Not for a long time.
No one can be Buddha except those who have developed panya enough and all other parami to become enlightened as Samma Sambuddho, not the Paccekha Buddha and not the Savaka Buddha. No one will have heard about even the term Dhamma, Nama, Rupa, all these, when there is no Buddha, or when the teaching is completely gone. And I think that very soon too.
Do you?
Yeah, because not many people understand what the teaching is about, like meditation, doing this and that. That's not his teaching at all. Because they want to get, instead of understanding, in order to have less detachment and all kilesa can be eradicated only by panya, not by doing something, not knowing or understanding anything at all.
And a small follow-up question, as having the whole discussion with Peter. Devas were enlightened listening to other arahants and disciples of the Buddha, as well as the Buddha, I think. Is that right? Yes.
Because when we talk about the Vinaya, those who can become enlightened by Buddha, it is Buddha Vinaya, and the Paccekha Vinaya, and Putta Vinaya, and Sangha Vinaya, and Dhamma Vinaya.
Vinaya, guidable teachings.
The teachings can be conditioned for enlightenment.
We don't even know if some devas may be listening, or we don't know.
Can devas become enlightened by listening to other devas?
Why not? Okay. The teachings must be exactly the same, no matter from who.
Still the Buddhist teachings. So actually, there could be no more teaching or no more right practicing here, but still there could be devas who...
The extinction of the teachings in the world, this world
this
only,
world
not in heaven, then you have more opportunity.
Because it has to exist somewhere else in order for the next Buddha to arise, but not on this plane.
No.
It has to die out.
It has to die out completely.
No, but I meant Kunsuchin just said that it is only in this world that it dies out, that it can exist on a heavenly plane.
Yes.
That's correct.
And that's where the connection for the future Buddha comes from.
It has to die out completely in all realms.
So where does, where does the future Buddha
come in?
Yes. How?
How does it know this? It's because it's real.
No. But if it completely dies out on all levels, where is the future Buddha?
Well, he has heard it.
He's now on the heaven, in the heaven realm, waiting for the right time to come.
Okay, so it doesn't die out on all levels.
Oh, so dying out is only in this human realm.
Yes. He's not a Buddha yet. For Rupa Brahma and Brahma, I think that we just talk about this world.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard enough. Just this.
And so when that happens, there would be very little kusala. Is that right? Very little.
No, more or less kusala.
More or less.
Less. Oh, there'd be less kusala.
Sure.
When the teachings die out.
I talk about people in general today.
You're saying in general today less kusala than in the Buddha's time.
So more akusala?
More akusala.
Yes. Yes.